Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone, to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And, you know, as they say, a win is a win. And you get, if you end the seven-game slide, you beat the Atlanta Falcons 20-17. And, you know, a team that struggled in that seven-game slide to close games. And you look at this one and you go, oh, my gosh, you know, one of the most difficult to close. Didn't play your best football in the second half, but Tyrann Mathieu, that interception, Chase Young, that sack fumble. When you needed to have a huge play defensively, you got it.
Yeah, look, we had, you know, we've had, I think, four games now where the defense on the field at the end of the game and had a couple bad breaks in a couple of those games, but we were able to close this one out. Big play by Tyrann, as you mentioned, a big sack by Chase Young, and really some good plays by a number of guys, including some guys that haven't played a lot of football for us this year that were out there because of some other players that are injured and couldn't go. So look, it's always great to beat the Falcons, number one. You know, that's a game that, you know, I know our fans and all of us circle every year, you know, beat the division opponent, beat the rival. So that was good, and they've been playing good football. They've won a number of games now, and they're a good football team. But I felt like we played really well, particularly in the first half. We had some things happen in the second half, maybe that you know, we didn't get going as good as we wanted to offensively. But there was a lot of good things.
You watched, obviously, you know, from, you know, a part of it. I shouldn't say watch, but you watched as Coach Rizzi took the reins last week, and he said it exactly. I'm not here to hold on to the reins. And the amount of change, you know, was significant. You know, you can't fake what he did. You can't fake who he is. And that kind of excitement, except for the Peyton Turner kind of congratulations, was just special.
Yeah. You know, I think this, when you have a midseason change, and this goes for any team, you're going to get a little bump in emotion. Right. And I thought Rizzi did a great job of accentuating that, of having some tangible things that were different relative to the week, the preparation. I think he you know, stated some things verbally that needed to be stated. Talked a lot about accountability and being all in and having a different mindset for the week and accentuating that. And I think most importantly, our team responded to that this week. And look, we got some guys back as well that made a difference, and ended up with a win and a close game.
You talked about a lot of those guys, you know, some of the guys that hadn't been. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had the two touchdowns. Now, he had joined the team on October 15th, didn't play Denver, didn't play, but he was still working out with Derek. So he still was kind of getting some of that timing. But that, you know, the three catches, two touchdowns, because you didn't have Cedric, you didn't have Olave. I mean, those were huge.
Yeah, look, I'm guessing that most of our fans didn't know who Marquez was before the game. They certainly do now. He made two huge plays, three huge plays, really, because he had two explosive plays and then the touchdown. I thought Kevin Austin made a couple of nice plays in the game, two big catches for first downs in you know, tough, critical situations. You know, just a lot of guys stepped up. We had some guys on defense as well. Ugo, who's been here and been a good player for us, has had the opportunity to play and made a lot of nice plays. Shamar, you know, so we've just had some guys that stepped in and did their job. And then we had some guys that we've had that have been playing that just did a little bit more. And that's what it takes.
Younghoe Koo, 1 for 4. I'm going to ask a question, but it's not going to be about Younghoe Koo because he wide left on the first, and then Ridgeway blocks the second, coming in from the defense, like the kind of, if you would say, the offensive left side, defensive right side. And then on the third one, they all flip to the other side. So the question is really about, it felt like to me that defensively special teams were impacting his kicks more than necessarily his kicks.
Yeah, I look, I think that happens a lot in our league. When guys do miss, there's just because you don't necessarily block a kick doesn't mean you don't affect it. And I felt like our field goal block team did a good job at affecting kicks. Now, I'm also, you know, it feels like that nobody ever misses a kick against us, particularly in the dome.
That's the way I feel. And especially Younghoe Koo.
Right, no question. It felt good that finally somebody missed some field goals at the Superdome in terms of our opponent.
The Saints with their second game at home during this home stretch, Cleveland, then a much-deserved bye week. And then the L.A. Rams are coming to town, but not until December 1st. The Saints hoping to make the most of this homestand and get a streak going themselves. The Saints Hour will continue with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are talking with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Take me through the final two plays. You know, they've got no timeouts. You know, did you think they were going for it on fourth, or they'd run Koo out? Just take me through the final third and whatever it was, third and 29, and then the final play.
Yeah, well, they got a nice gain on third down. I thought maybe they might try to run the field goal team out there and kick what would have amounted to a 61 or 62 yard field goal, but they didn't. They you know, tried to get a first down, and look, our guys did a good job of tackling and making sure that they didn't get to the first down marker on a short throw. And I thought we had good pressure on the quarterback in that last series or two. Those are the kinds of plays that, you know, sometimes they get made, and Kirk Cousins has made a lot of those plays at the end of the game to put them in a position to win a game. They did it last time in Atlanta, made some plays on their last drive to get themselves into field goal range. And this time, our defense stepped up and made a couple big plays.
Talk to Jari a little bit about and talk to actually last night to Coach John Benton about the offensive line. And I was curious about your thoughts on Trevor Penning and just his confidence level, and if it's, you've watched it kind of grow through this season.
Yeah. Well, I think when you look at, you know, I always try to look at what are the positive things that have happened during the course of a season, even when we're, you know, 3-7. I think one of the positives is, man, I can see the development of a really good offensive line down the road. We've got a rookie left tackle who's done some good things. We've got, a top flight center in Eric McCoy when he's available. We've got a developmental guard at left guard in Nick Saldivari. I think Lucas Patrick has played well when he's been available. Caesar's a really solid player, and the arrow's up on him. And then Trevor has made a lot of progress this year. And each week, I feel like, you know, our offensive line coaches, John Benton and Rick Dennison, have man, they've spent a lot of time and effort working with Trevor, working on lots of fundamentals, as well as his mental preparation for the game. And I just, you can see the progress. It's not there yet. It's not where we need it to be ultimately, but you can see the progress. And I feel like, and this is a better question for his coaches than me, I just feel like he's gaining confidence. And each week, you know, we see plays and we see progress.
So here comes Cleveland. They come in off of a bye week, and it's always tough to face a team coming off of their bye week. They're not playing very well. 2-7. You face one of your former quarterbacks in Jameis Winston. And, you know, all you have to kind of look at when you look at the Jameis situation is, well, they beat Baltimore, you know, week 8, because they were off week 10. So he's 3 touchdowns, no picks, and they win a game. And then the next game, he's got 1 touchdown, 3 picks. And so, you know, and the last time you played Cleveland, Joe Woods was the defensive coordinator for Cleveland. Yeah. Now he's the defensive coordinator for you guys. So as much as they change, you know, sometimes they stay the same. But this is, I mean, those two things, them beating Baltimore, Jameis, and open week is enough to get anybody's attention.
Yeah, look, they've got a talented team, and look, they're desperate for a win, just like we are, and so they've got, you know, a really good coaching staff, and look, they've had some injuries, they've had some things, you know, bounce the wrong way, much like we have, and yet, you know, they're going to be desperate for a win, and we have to match that intensity and put our best foot forward and play. We're going to have to play a really good game to get a win, like you have to do every week in the NFL.
And same thing from a Coach Rizzi standpoint, just you kind of, you know, I mean, as much change, I know he loved the change last week, but, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, he made some changes to the practice schedule, really put the computers to work on speed of practice. And so, I mean, just same type thing, right?
Yeah, look, I think the challenge is look, there was a lot of positive energy last week, culminated in a win against Atlanta, and the challenge this week is to maintain that level of energy, maintain that level of preparation, and carry that into Sunday. And look, that's the challenge every week from here on out.
Need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And we'll also be joined by former offensive lineman and now an assistant offensive line coach, Jari Evans, a 4th-round pick back in 2006. And on Sunday, he will go into the Ring of Honor at halftime of the game with Cleveland. The Saints Hour continues after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Hour. Mike Hoss, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, and now joined by Saints offensive line assistant coach, and of course played for 11 years and going into the Ring of Honor on Sunday, Jari Evans. And Mickey, you know, it's the floor is yours, but I mean, he's your employee, so I know it's tough, but what would you like to ask Jari after a very, very significant win on Sunday?
Well, I think this, look, we know about Jari's journey, right? From a smaller college, kind of being overlooked, coming out of high school and becoming a top 5 player at Bloomsburg and then getting drafted. And look, that credit goes to our area scouts and Doug Marone and some of the people that really believed in Jari right from day one. More so than anyone else. And then obviously a credit to Jari, who comes in and was never too big for him. You know, he took that starting job pretty early in his career, that first year and just ran with it. My question probably would be, look, Jari, I get sometimes you have to sit back and think, man, I'm in the Ring of Honor. I'm going to have my name up on a stadium not for eternity, because I don't think the stadium will last for eternity, but for a long time.
What's that feel like?
Yeah, those are the exact feelings. Is you know, it feels like the most elite group to wear the Florida Lee on the helmet, which it is. And that's an awesome feeling. I just think about, my children didn't see me play, but they'll see Dad's name up there on the Ring of Honor. I'll substitute that out any day. So that's awesome. I'm excited for it. I'm grateful, for the organization, Mrs. Benson, you, Mickey, and all my coaches, my teammates, the fans, the Who Dat Nation fans. It's awesome. And the biggest thing that makes it even better is how much we were able to win and able to win a championship, because that's very rare as well.
Yeah, that feeling of winning a game, like Sunday, despite the way the season's gone so far, it doesn't change that level of satisfaction, that excitement. Obviously, you want to win every game, but we also know how hard that is, and there wouldn't be the euphoria of winning if there wasn't the despair of losing, right?
Right.
We don't want to
exactly.
experience the despair of losing very often, but you can't have one without the other.
So, Jari, I'm curious. When we were in Irvine, and every day, it was Mickey and the coaching staff and yourself. It was offensive line, questions, 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 right? Offensive line, and then battling through the injuries that you did, which is enormously tough, coming out on the other side, and we'll see what happens with Eric McCoy this week, but with getting these people back, I guess just initially your assessment, because I would assume you had a rookie at left tackle, right tackle that was kind of playing out of position, not really sure who the left guard was going to be, that your assessment of how they've come through and come out on the other side of the injury tunnel.
Yeah, I think the guys handled it very well. We have an awesome room. I tell you that, we have an awesome room, and that's the first step. Because if the room as a whole isn't good, when you have these, these things, this adversity that hits, especially just with our group alone, being on our fourth center and things of that nature, the team would notice that. And we all know that, this game really starts up front with the guys, So for one, we had good leadership. We have a good room. Eric is awesome. Even though he was hurt, he's in the meetings. He's very in tune with the guys. And the one thing that I love about the group that we did when I played here is we help each other. We don't shy away. We didn't shy away from helping guys be a better player because they're playing and we're not playing and we want to play. And you get that in some rooms where, it's like, oh, well, I'm helping the guy play my position, but I'm trying to play. So we don't have those type of guys in our room, and the guys want to be better and they want to have success. And also, man, those guys got a great back behind them in Alvin Kamara. And when you got that, you can't slouch. There's no slacking. There's no slouching. And you want to be the best player could be for that guy because of his skill set and his talent. And the guys just focused in and dialed in, and they bought into the scheme and what the coaches were teaching, what we're teaching these guys. And I think the best part about it is when we first got all together in OTAs and, we're teaching the scheme and teaching everything, these guys really bought in and they had fun doing it. So when we start having success on the field and seeing it work, these guys were all in. When guys went down, the next guy stepped up, same mentality, all in. So it's, we're coming out of it now, like you said, and I'm looking forward to watching these guys continuing to go out there and play well.
So that brings to mind a question for me, Jari. Look, you're a Hall of Fame caliber player, played a long time. You stepped away from the game for a few years, and then you come back to it as a coach. And just from your perspective, what the guys that we get today coming out of college, what's different as opposed to the, when you first came in the league and the player today?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot more distractions off the field for these guys, a lot of things that they're dealing with. And then also, I think that a lot to do with the schemes and the players and how fast the game is. Obviously, the structures are changing with practice schedules and things of that nature. But I think guys are even more are not coming in to be adjusted to how much we pass in the NFL versus to college. I think that that's one of the biggest things is just the pass protection and you know, running. Everybody's not built to throw the ball 30, 40 times a game up front, you know? So I think that is one of the toughest things that I see with young offensive linemen is pass protection, drop back passing, you know, 30 times, 40 times a game.
You excited about Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm always excited about game day, especially because the dome looks a lot better than when I played. I mean, they got the pillars coming out, the smoke coming out, the LED screens. It's awesome what, you know, how each year the organization has done something great to the facility, to the Superdome. And it's amazing. The energy is amazing. And the guys are getting better. They're working hard and looking forward to going out there and getting another W.
The only question I have last for you, and we'll let you go, and then you get stuff to take care of, is that there was so much change last week by Coach Rizzi. Does it feel like it's going to be a little more, you know, kind of game focused? There was so much last week, and, you know, he's, you know, got that huge win. But do you feel like it'll be a little less of that this week?
No, I think it's going to be, you know, the same. I think it's going to be a lot of energy. I think we're going to move fast. We're going to, you know, practice fast. We're going to play fast. The guys are going to be energetic. And you know, we're going to go out there and play to win each down. And I think that's what you saw last week. Not saying that the guys weren't doing that before, but you did see a little spark of energy out of the guys. And it started during the week. So, you know, that's our same approach. And the main thing is just to get 100% on each play. And then when that play is over, repeat it on the next play and continue to repeat it. And at the end of the day, you know, just add up all our wins.
Love it.
Well, thank you, Jari. Number one, man, congratulations on the Ring of Honor. It's well deserved. You're up there with a lot of great names, and man, you earned every bit of it.
Thanks, Mickey. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, Jari. Only Jari, when I ask, are you excited about Sunday? I meant about the Ring of Honor. He's talking about the game in Cleveland. So that's the way you ought to be. Be focused.
I'm excited about the Ring of Honor for sure.
That's the offensive line mentality, right? Team first.
Yep.
My thanks to Mickey Loomis. He'll have to leave us now to get back to the task at hand, beating 2-7 Cleveland on Sunday. Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back, we'll have more with Jari Evans, the former fourth-round pick, going into the Ring of Honor on Sunday. The Saints Hour continues here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Saints Hour, Mike Hoss, as we continue our conversation with Saints offensive line assistant coach Jari Evans. And let's go back a little bit. I know we've talked, you know, it's such a big day for you coming up on Sunday as you get into the Ring of Honor. But I kind of want to start backwards, right? July 31st, Irvine, when you got the news, and it was cool because it was in front of your peers and your players and your coaches. And I think enough times passed. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was. I was really surprised. That wasn't on my radar that day. I was more so thinking about the plays, practice, you know, individual drill with the old line. Yeah, so it caught me off guard, caught me by surprise, and it was a bit emotional at first, and then I had to get it together because they wanted me to say something. So,
Well,
but it was
I looked
awesome,
at it this
man.
morning just to kind of refresh my memory because we were there, but not in the room. And I love when the big guys get emotional, right? So
Yeah.
I've kind of felt you were like clapping, kind of getting you were kind of getting yourself back together, right?
I
Because you
was.
know what I mean? The clap kind of helped you get it back together, but you turned it right into win each day, add each day up, win each down, add each down up, win the drive, add the drives up. At the end of the day, let's go win the division. I mean, you turned it typically, not surprisingly, nothing
Yeah.
about you. It became about a message to the team.
Yeah, it's I just remember as a player, coaches always, it's very important who you put in front of the team and the message that they deliver. So I always remembered that. And of course, we play a big team game, and some of those guys watch me play. Guys know what kind of player I was, but I immediately got into coach mode, and I wanted to deliver a message to inspire those guys to be the best player they can be. And that's something that I, told myself when I was on the field is, win the down, add those downs up, win the drive, you add those drives up, you win the day, and ultimately you win a division.
Played 11 years for the Saints, did play that one final year for Green Bay. We count it from NFL purposes, but from a Saints standpoint, because the numbers are astonishing to me when you think about what everybody is going through. Out of 176 possible games, you missed two games in 2013 and five in 2015. So you started 169 out of 176 out of possible during your time here. You know the game, you know what they're going through now. Those numbers must be significant even to you.
I'm very proud of those numbers. I missed seven games with the Saints, and I only missed two with Green Bay. I didn't play the last two games of that season. I had a knee issue. But yeah, and the most streak in a row games I missed was like three because I had surgery, but I made it back quickly and to get back with the guys. So I'm very proud of not being, being available. You hear a lot, the best ability is availability, and I was able to stay healthy.
That stretch for you that started in 09, AP first team, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, your AP second team, Pro Bowl all those years, and then Pro Bowl in 14. And people don't probably, you have to go back and look, at least to me, they think about the 09 and the 11 and the 13 teams as being those kind of standouts. Those years, this football team ran the ball better than it threw the ball, right? And probably people wouldn't know that or wouldn't think that, right? But that's the, when the when you guys were playing good, you were running the football.
Yeah, man, I played on some great units with some great guys. And you look at AK, who just broke Mark's record. Mark was the back a lot of those years and stacked up a lot of those numbers. And the one thing I do think the organization has done and continues to do is shows the value of the guys up front. We protected Drew well, and we were able to put up a lot of records on the ground and in the air. And it was a lot of fun.
I was looking. So in your 11 years, the Saints led the NFL in total offense six times. So man, that's just boom, right? Total offense. But in those 11 years, you allowed 274 sacks. That was the lowest amount in the NFL over that period. Which of those stats means more to you?
Run versus the pass. I would say, I would say the sacks. As an O lineman, you always kind of, you pride yourself on running the ball. That's the pride thing. You pride yourself on running the ball, getting downfield, getting to the second level, getting the linebackers, getting your running backs to the safeties. That's a given for us. We want to play, big and nasty and strong, but to also not just be dominant in the run game, but also be dominant in protecting the quarterback to allow those guys to allow them to drive the ball downfield, those guys to make play downfield. You really feel the energy of the dome and the stadium and the fans when you get those big plays through the air. So, those plays, drove us too to be successful. and the type of players that we had, and Drew Brees and his skill set and his talent. You know, we wanted to be dominant in both, not just the ground, but in protecting the quarterback as well.
And Coach Allen said this when he was in Irvine, and just that this is a different level we're talking about, Ring of Honor. I mean, Tom Benson, Archie Manning, Will Smith, Morton Anderson, Ricky Jackson, Sam Mills, Willie Roach, you become just the second offensive lineman. But as we sit here on Tuesday, you don't have a whole lot of knowledge of how it's going to go on Sunday. Only in the end, your name's going up with some impressive people.
Yeah, man, it's elite. It really is elite. The more I think about it, you know, it's elite. And thanks to, you know, Benson's family, Mrs. Benson, Mickey, the fans, you know, you just think about all the memories in the dome and the fans getting loud and the wins we were able to put up and just how, you know, elated and how much energy we brought to the city just with our play. And to cap it all off, we were able to win the Super Bowl. So it's just, you know, you get all those feelings, those emotions, they start rushing back, and you just remember all the good times and the environments that we've been in with teammates and players and fans and the organization. You know, it was a fun time, and you know, we're looking forward to getting that going again. We won last week, so we got to get another W this week.
We are talking with former Saints offensive lineman and now assistant offensive line coach Jari Evans, who will go into the Ring of Honor Sunday with the Cleveland Browns coming. And I sit with Deuce, you know, I mean, so much. And so, we came after Zach, who's a super good guy. And Deuce gets asked all the time, man, why don't you be a coach? And I know the former players who get asked that go, dude, I've seen the job, man. I know what the job is. And it's a heck ton of work. But you were an intern in 2022 and then last year and then this year. You know, did you know what – you knew what you were getting into. I know that answer. But how's it been? Yeah. What's the progression been like?
It's been awesome. You know, throughout my career, I did football clinics. I've done camps. I've had young men that have come up through my camps that wind up making it to the NFL. So, you know, throughout my career, I was doing teaching clinics with offensive line. And even when I retired, I have a 24-hour gym back in Philly that I've owned for 13-plus years. It's been a company for 20-plus years. So I was training guys and working with guys. But, you know, it is a grind. The coaching grind is a grind. The good thing about it is I know football pretty well and I know technique, and I'm able to sharpen these guys' tools and add tools to their toolbox. And then the O-line is very unique because you got guys from all different body types, all different sizes that have different skill sets that move differently. And I enjoy working with those guys, and I enjoy showing them things that made me successful, and also showing them things that I've learned from my teammates over the years that made us successful and made them successful as far as tackles and centers and things of that nature. And there's about, shoot, I mean, there's a lot of us who are coaching now. I mean, Dwayne Ledford actually coaches for the Atlanta Falcons, played with him earlier in my career. You got Jonathan Goodwin, you got Zach Strieve. So, you know, there's a lot of guys coaching that I played with up front. And I think it just shows of how good of a units we've had over the years that we have a lot of linemen coaching.
You talked about the 09 team, and I ask everybody whenever I get a chance to interview people from the 06 team, because it was such a unique draft class and a unique time post-Katrina this is just me, and I was just a fan sitting up in section, you know, 316, that 06 season, even though it wasn't a Super Bowl, it could have meant as much, and I feel like it did mean as much to this region and this city as the 09 team, and that's a crazy thing to say.
I don't think you're far off with that. You know, that kind of really started this whole winning train going, you know, and you know, we were one game away from the Super Bowl, winning the NFC Championship, and me coming from Bloomsburg, where I had, you know, I didn't even lose 5 games at Bloomsburg in 4 years. You know, I was expecting this to be always to happen, and then you know, always happening, being in the playoffs and all that. So I think 06 definitely, you know, spark things off, and we had success. Everybody was just coming together, just coming to the region. We had a lot of rookies that draft class, everybody pretty much played. And then we had 2 down years, and we were able to get back to winning. So, but I think that 06, just the mindset, the foundation of the players that were there and continued to stay, I think definitely sparked it all off.
Even with the success you had at Bloomsburg, you know, it doesn't, it's, you had Marcus Colson from all Hofstra. I mean, you had some, you know, some guys from smaller schools. Was the, did you feel that you're not at Oklahoma or LA, you know, you're not at a big school, that it would be harder, or did you always know that you were kind of going to get your opportunity?
So for me, I was always a big guy, so I knew I had the size. And then coming out of Division II, I did play in a D1 All-Star game. So I got to go up against guys from Michigan, guys from all these D1 schools that were, you know, the University of Miami, you know, guys that were going to either the Senior Bowl or the East-West Shrine Bowl. So, you know, that gave me some confidence. And then I got in training camp and just went to work. Just went to work like I've always did. And the more confident I got, the more blocks I won. And the more blocks I won, the more confident I got. And just, I had a good teacher, good coach, and you know, just kept rocking on from there. So I was always a confident player. I believed in my abilities. And before I went Division II, you know, I did have a lot of D1 offers. I just was hurt, so I didn't, everybody wanted me to walk on, so I took the 4-year scholarship. So I knew that I was a good player and I got an opportunity, and I wanted to make sure that I, you know, didn't miss out on that opportunity, put my best foot forward, and that's what I always did.
Yes, Jari Evans always seems to put and continues to put his best foot forward. Thanks so much to him. And we can't wait to see his name in lights at the top of Caesars Superdome on Sunday and join a very impressive crowd already there. When we come back, maybe it's time for Teddy Bridgewater as well. The former Saint quarterback back in 2018 and 2019 is now leading his alma mater high school back in Miami. We will hear from the man who reconnected his football career after a devastating injury in Miami. Teddy Bridgewater is next here on the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, welcome back to the Saints Hour, Mike Costa. Now we're talking with former Saint quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Had those 2 big years with the Saints, 2018 and 2019, and really the 5-0 in 2019 with Drew out with the thumb injury. Teddy, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Hanging in there.
When you think of your time in New Orleans, I would imagine it would be that 5-game stretch, correct?
Yeah, that stands out, of course. But also, just it was a crucial time in my career where I was coming back from an injury,
Yeah.
and it was a place that brought me so much joy, not only from a football standpoint, but from just living in New Orleans and being a part of that city.
Yeah, so the injury, you know, obviously the dislocated knee and several ligaments, just in a practice non-contact. That's why the injury gets talked about so much, because of the kind of unique unbelievableness of it. Played a game in 2018 and then 2019, and you finished in fifth for the comeback player of the year. Was that about being able to tell that Teddy, you can still play in this league? The injury's long gone.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's all I ever wanted was a shot. And you know, when New Orleans traded for me, it was like, man, a breath of fresh air. And when I got there and learned a different side of football that I had never experienced before, it just allowed me to grow and flourish as a player.
And now you're even on a different side of football, the head coach of Miami Northwestern High School. That is your alma mater, and you're getting ready for the playoffs that begin on Friday. You're 7-2. You're in the 3A. You've won 5 straight, and so, you know, the playoffs begin on Friday. I know you got a team meeting coming up. What has that been like?
It's been fun, man. Been refreshing for my soul. Just pouring into these young men who have nothing but big eyes when they look at me, because I've been where they're trying to go. And when they see me, they see hope. They see a future. They see all the things that they can be. So for me, it's just every day I come in with the right mentality that means it's about the kids. It's never about me. And as long as I keep it that way, I feel like I'll continue to have success.
And so you have to kind of go beyond the drama, right? I mean, we know it's high school. These are kids, coaches, and families, and a lot going on. And so, you know, it's about teamwork. I'm reading from your stuff now. Teamwork, discipline, succeed through adversity, and hashtag keep it about the kids, right? Because there's a lot of drama that comes with that job.
Oh yeah, and that's every level of sports. You know, it starts on the parks. You know, you have parents involved in, you know, you get some parents involved in high school, you get the transfer portal stuff going on in high school, and then you go to college, it's now a business. And then NFL is really a business. So each level, you know, it has its ups and downs. But in the grand scheme of things, man, when I talk about high school football, the most important thing is the development of the young teenagers who are about to be young men. And you can't lose sight of that, you know, no matter how bad you want to taste success, you know, you got to remember that the ultimate goal is to raise these young boys into young men.
Right, because not everybody's going to play college football. Not everybody's going to play professional football, right? It's about molding young men into leaders.
Right, and you hit it right on the head. Everyone's not going to go to the NFL. And, you know, you still, you know, you try to lead them and guide them into different career paths and things like that. But in the same time, you still instill that confidence in them. But just keep it about the kids. That's my mentality.
Coach Rizzi had got the reins, you know, of this football team, and man, he has been driving this train the way Coach Rizzi wants to drive it. And I know, you know, tell me about which him and your relationship and how cool it's been to watch.
Rizzi, man, he's awesome. You know, he spent some time down here in South Florida. He spent a lot of time in South Florida, actually.
Yeah, he did.
And when he and I were in New Orleans, that's all we talked about was South Florida. And I'm happy that he has this opportunity to just showcase his coaching ability. He knows how to get through to those guys, you know, not only from a special team standpoint, but from just a men's point of view. You know, oftentimes we forget that, you know, we're still men in the locker room. You know, you're men within the game. And I think that's something that he never lost touch of, his ability to connect with the players as men as well.
Yeah, it's he speaks almost as you do, leader of, you know, he's here to be the leader of men, right? Everybody's got, coaches have jobs to do, the
right.
Players have jobs to do, but they need, you know, somebody's got to drive the train, and he wants to be that leader of men.
Right. And, you know, that's what's missing sometimes in sports. You know, we get caught up in the wins and losses, but, you know, you still have some 21-year-olds, 22, 23-year-olds who still need that structure and that leadership, and I'm happy that Riz gets the opportunity to showcase his leadership skills.
Couple of quick ones before we let you go, because I know you got a team meeting to get to, or an offensive meeting to get to. The decision when you came to New Orleans to ride the bike to the Dome and to different places, I mean, it became a kind of a story, a good story, but what was that all about? When did that come?
Well, I live like three blocks down the street from
the
Dome.
You're in the warehouse district, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the warehouse district. I forget the name of the nightclub or the bar that I lived right above. Lily's or Lucy's. Yeah, Lucy's.
You lived above Lucy's? How did you ever
right
sleep?
Above Lucy's. I mean, you know, they only partied on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so it wasn't too bad during the week. But, so yeah, I live right there, so it was just like, man, instead of driving and sitting in traffic for 30, 45 minutes to go two blocks, I'll just ride a bike. And, you know, I'm an outside guy. I love outdoors. So, you know, it was just an opportunity for me to be outdoors, riding a bike, cruising, and cherishing the moments and the memories of being in New Orleans.
And then finally, I got to talk to you. So here you are. So you play Baron Collier. Is it Collier or Collier on Friday? So you start,
something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Who cares, right? They're 5-5. That's the other team across the ball. Friday begins. I mean, you know, Florida needs to probably break into three states, because for high school football, it's good gosh. So you got to go through the game Friday that puts you into quadrant four, region semifinals, then the state finals, and then the finals at South Dade Kia Field at Pit Bull Stadium. So how are your chances?
I think we got a pretty good chance to make a run. But I just reassure the kids and remind them that every week from here on out is earned. You know, we earn the right to have another week during this time of the year. Nothing's guaranteed. You got to work hard, work even harder than you work this far. So as long as they continue to commit to their process, you know, we'll have a good results that we're looking for. And we should be right where we want to be within the next 4 to 5 weeks.
There you go. South Dade Kia Field at Pit Bull Stadium. And it is Pit Bull Stadium. It is what you think it is. So that's where Florida International University plays their games. Right. Best of luck. I really do appreciate the time. Continued success, and keep it going through the playoffs.
No problem. Appreciate you guys having me.
That's our show for tonight. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. This has been the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.